Michael and Siobhan sang Jackson Marvin Beauregard for us and his third reinvention as our special music before the talk today. And in it, it talks about this man who makes a decision to move to a life of more dimensions. And that's exactly what I want to talk about today, is a life of more dimensions. So that was absolutely the perfect, perfect song. And I had the experience about a month ago, I guess, of seeing an Abraham workshop that took place in 2012 that was at Asheville, so it wasn't on the live stream and I had never heard it. And they offered a new idea that felt like it took me to a new dimension that I've been exploring for the last month or so, and inspired the title of this talk, The Power of Influence, because that's what it reminded me of in the teachings that they've had in prior days. That's what they called it. But this is the quote that rocked my world a month ago, that took me to a different place. They said, "You think that you keep in touch with one another on Facebook. You think that you keep in touch with one another through your correspondence or through your communication or through your rendezvous. That is minuscule in comparison with the way you keep in touch with one another through your memories, through your contemplation, through your anticipation, through your giving intention in the here and now about something." Wow. I mean, that, it's the interactions we have in the physical are minuscule in comparison to the interactions we have in consciousness. That's what they're saying, and that's stunning to me. I mean, that, I think that's like almost shocking, that what we connect with across time and space is smaller than how we connect beyond time and space. Because most of us live very solidly in what we consider to be time-space reality, and yet as we study metaphysics, we realize that if we actually accept as true that we live in a vibrational universe and that what we physically experience is a match to the vibrational frequency that we emit, and there are a million other frequencies we could be emitting and experiencing, a million other realities. And in fact, there are 7 billion people on the planet who are each experiencing a personal reality that's different than anyone else's. And we have some common ground that we agree on. But if you look at people living next to each other, they're having radically different experiences. And yet someone way across the world may connect with you and have an experience with you that's more powerful than the person next door. And in the last month, I've had experiences with someone 8,000 miles away and then someone next door that related to my experience around this whole idea of connection in the non-physical, being the bigger part of who we are and what we do. So let me back up a little bit and tell you what I've been doing lately. Many of you know that I play a computer game called Whoop-a-Roo Mountain, and I'm number 5 in the world. Out of 500,000 or more people, I'm number 5, which means I'm addicted to this game. I play it all day, every day, and have since last late August last year. And the game was released in July. So part of the reason that I've done so well is that I got started on this game really early in the evolution of the game. And the reason I got hooked on it initially was that it reminded me of the Abraham Prosperity Games. And because in the game, the first day, you have 63 gifts to give to other people that are valuable. And you have to make friends to give all this stuff away. So the game is built on reciprocal relationships that you develop. And the game's available in 8 languages. And there are people from all over the world who are playing this game. I found out where Turkmenistan is because I'd never even heard of that country. And all of a sudden, I was playing a game in English with someone who lived in Central Asia. And that surprised me and delighted me. And last fall, I interacted several times with a man who lived in Yemen. And he was a very, very kind person, spoke pretty good English, and asked me some questions about how to interact with the game that I answered very honestly. And he said he went to my Facebook page and discovered I was as kind in real life as I was in the game. And that was one of the nicest compliments I ever received. So I kind of got interested in this man and his life and what was happening in his life. And he started telling me there was trouble in his country. And I told him that I would pray for him and his family and his country. And then his country went to war. And he had been playing the game every day, and he became scarce. And I wondered how he was doing, because he used to be there, and then he wasn't. And I knew about the trouble in his country, and I had been telling him I was praying, and I was getting my friends to pray with me about his country. And this one day he appeared again in the game at an hour of the day I was playing the game, and he sent me a message, and I was able to immediately respond to it. And for the first time in 6 months, we had a real-time conversation. And I had been thinking about, if I could tell him what I really wanted him to know, what would I tell him? Given the situation that he's in, what would I tell him? And the thing I wanted to tell him was, I believe there is a deep and eternal peace that underlies all the chaos. And so I wrote that to him on the game, and he wrote back and he said, I believe that too. And so I sent him a Rumi quote, because he's a Muslim. He speaks Arabic mostly. And I said, Rumi said, out beyond wrongdoing and right-doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. And he said, Rumi said, the wound is what lets the light in. And we began exchanging Rumi quotes across the world, across cultures, across religions, across languages, although because he spoke some English, we were able to do that. And the essence of what we both knew was the same. And it was quite remarkable to have that experience with him. And then he disappeared entirely from the game. He didn't ever come back. But I knew that he had found me on Facebook, so I looked for him on Facebook. And every few days I would check in, and he was posting on Facebook in Arabic, so I couldn't read what he was posting, but I knew he was still there, at least. And one day I instant messaged him that I was praying for him, and he sent me back an instant message on Facebook. And so I was able to communicate with some of his friends at the game what was happening with him, and that he and his family were okay. But we're inviting prayers and help. And so that went on a little bit. I heard from him a couple more times, just back and forth on Facebook instant message. And then this one day I was getting out of my car to go into an appointment. I had no time. And he instant messaged me, and I happened to see it. And as I was getting out of my car, I was reading his instant message, and he said, I have a question. He said, since I was 14 years old, I've been praying 5 times a day for peace for my country. Why doesn't God stop this war? We lost some good people this week. Is God angry with us? And I wanted to cry, and I thought, I have no time to answer this most deep question. But I said, short answer is free will. We all get to choose. And in a nanosecond, he sent back a thumbs up. He just needed to be reminded of what he already knew. And he got that. And he said, I've been having a really hard week, and you just really helped me remember what I know. So, across time and space, through a silly game that brings people together from all over the world, I connected with someone in a war zone that I was able to help in some way that was powerful. And that's a realization of my intention for my life. I want to share what I know. And what I know is that we are always loved and supported. It's what's happening in the whole universe. It's what's real. And if I remember it, I can remind other people that that's what's true. And because I was inspired to play this game, I met this man who has 4,800 friends on Facebook. And I don't know who he is or what he does, but he has 4,800 friends that he's communicating with in Arabic. And if I can remind him of what he knows is true, he can maybe help people in his country remember as well. And so the ripples go out and out and out. And the prayers that we do are as important as these communications through Facebook. And it just startled me that Abraham said, you think you keep in touch with one another on Facebook, but that's minuscule in comparison with the way you keep in touch with one another through your contemplation and through your prayers. Essentially, through your prayers. And so as we think about people, we get this incredible impact. And I discovered that as I was thinking about him, Val brought me a Rumi DVD that I watched a video about Rumi. And after I watched the video about Rumi, I was inspired to go to Google Play Store and find that there are Rumi apps. And the Rumi app led me to a number of quotes. And one of them was, yesterday I was so clever I wanted to change the world. Today I am wise. I will change myself. And so I sent that to my friend in Yemen. And he sent me back a poem about friendship and how the upliftment of friendship is vitally important in life. And then I read another quote from Rumi. Your body is away from me, but there is a window open from my heart to yours. From this window, like the moon, I keep sending news secretly. And the funny thing that happened with that is that as I read that quote, I went and checked my email. And in my email was something that took me to Facebook, where I saw a friend of mine, Margie White, that I used to talk to every week. For 10 years, I talked to her every week. And then she got busy with her PhD, and I hadn't talked to her. I talk to her maybe once a year now, send her a happy birthday message, but not much more than that. And she had posted a Rumi quote that was helping console her in her grief about her father's death a few months ago. And so I sent her this Rumi quote and said, your body is away from me, but there is a window open from my heart to yours. And from this window, like the moon, I keep sending news secretly. And when we send the news secretly, Facebook picks it up and reminds us how connected we are beyond time and space. And thinking about Jackson Marvin Beauregard and the new dimensions, to me, this whole idea of thinking beyond time and space, the impact of consciousness beyond time and space is huge. It's enormous. It's fabulous. It's so exciting. Because then the limits that we accept in time and space don't apply. And so I had this aha that I could use the game that I play, where I interact literally with over 100 people a day from all over the world. I mean, talking to people in Indonesia and Korea and China and Australia and Turkmenistan and South America and all over Europe. So I began, when I went to visit them, instead of just clicking on the gift I was going to give them in response to the gift that they had just given me, I began doing affirmations. And the first one I started with was, I send love to you. I send divine love to you. And as I did that, I realized that I was in rote mode. Every day I went to see 100 people and I wanted to do it as quickly as possible. And so I stopped and I said, I send divine love to you. And I took a deep conscious breath. And that was a really powerful thing, because all of a sudden what had been a rote experience became a spiritual practice, where over 100 times a day I was taking a deep conscious breath around the idea of sending love across the world. And that was really powerful for me. And it takes a moment to load the villages, because they get bigger and bigger as time goes on. And so as I was going back home, I had a period of waiting too. And so I began affirming for myself. And as I began affirming for myself, I thought, well, sending divine love when I know it's already here to myself doesn't make sense. So I began saying, I see awareness of divine love in myself, and took a deep breath again. So I'm up to 100 breaths, 200 breaths a day or more. And over time, the affirmation that I do keeps changing. But Rumi's statement, yesterday I was so clever I wanted to change the world. Now I am wise, I will change myself. And I saw that I kept changing. Every day I kept changing in my appreciation for the possibilities of what was happening with these experiences. The essence of what was going on across the world. How do you deal with the experience of life in a war zone? I heard back from my friend. He said, my family escaped to the UAE, United Arab Emirates. He said, now I'm alone in the house. Maybe I should call my old girlfriend. And he wrote joke. And I thought, someone in the middle of a war zone who says they're losing people that are important to them all the time is able to make a joke. That's extraordinary, to witness the consciousness, the beauty of the consciousness of this person that I will never see in the physical, that I connected with in the virtual, that I pray for every day in consciousness. That's extraordinary. And in the Science of Mind magazine in May, There was an article by a doctor whose name is Dr. Mark Gaffney, G-A-F-N-I. Oh, no, he's a doctor and a rabbi, so he must be a PhD sort of doctor, I guess. But he said, we live in a world of outrageous pain, and the only response to outrageous pain is outrageous love. You have to awaken as an outrageous lover. You have to awaken to your true identity. You are a unique incarnation of love intelligence. And as a unique incarnation of that intelligence, what do? You commit the unique, outrageous acts of love that are yours and yours alone to commit. Outrageous acts of love. And we are all, in our own way, called to these outrageous acts of love, whatever it is. And some days, it's like, how do you find your balance within whatever weirdness is going on in your life? Because there's always something going on in everybody's life. And how do you find your balance again? How do you find your love? How do you find your connection to Source, even in the middle of whatever's going on? And that's what Abraham calls unconditional love. What Gaffney calls outrageous love, Abraham calls it unconditional love, because it's love beyond the conditions of what is surrounding you. And years and years ago, Abraham said to a number of people, if you don't need the credit, you can change the world. And so here's a fairly long quote from Abraham. What does somebody do who cares about people of all religions? How do you bear something like this where you are watching so many people having such suffering and you have no control? You don't have control over the behavior and actions of what others do. How do you stand it? Even more, how could you experience it in joy? As you observe it from your perspective and you contribute your rocket of desire, that larger part of you becomes what you want relative to this. In other words, peace in the war zone, or food for famine, or rain for drought. And then you reach for thoughts that feel better and better and better and better. You try to find a way to become aligned with the thoughts you have launched. And when you do, your power of influence is more than that of millions. A handful of you lying in your bed and caring about something, most of all caring about coming into alignment with you, can do more about opening a resolution than the diplomats who are there with their pens pointed at documents. You have so much more power of influence than you know. But it requires understanding that this is not an action-based world. It's a vibrational world. Until you accept that it's vibrationally based, you won't accept the power that you have. Lie in the boardroom of your bed and take the time to come into alignment with your dream about what is happening, and come into resonance with that alignment, because finally you are sleeping instead of fretting, smiling instead of crying. Finally, you're in alignment with the dream that your awareness of what has happened has caused you to dream. And when you come into alignment, you contribute mightily. As long as you don't care who gets the credit, you can be of huge value, because the diplomats will take the credit. You can influence NATO, and you can influence who is the next president. We are not kidding you. Or you can evoke different things from the existing president. To think of ourselves as being more powerful than millions, just by coming into alignment, of finding a way to feel good, even in the presence of all of the contrast that's in the war, in the world, in wars and whatever is happening with people. We have the capacity to make changes in the world. Now, recently, Abraham said, I heard it, I didn't have the presence of mind to write it down in the moment. I shouldn't have said that, I just lost it. Might come to me again. I won't stop there because I don't know that I'll think of it again. I'll go somewhere else. I went to the Posse Music concert at the Unity of Fairfax last month, and Greg Tamblyn was there. And I've known Greg Tamblyn for 20 years, because 20 years ago when I was working at the Celebration Center briefly, he came and did a concert there, and he sang a song that changed the way I thought about science of mind. And I had been a practitioner. I'd been studying science of mind for 6 years at that point, and I'd been a practitioner for a couple of years by then. I thought I knew what it was about. And he sang a song called Hallways of My Mind. And it was about having a fight with a friend and apologizing, and then it says something about, you have some questions that remain still. Are there angry thoughts that linger in my head? And the refrain of the song is, you are safe in how I think about you. You could walk my secret passageways and find there is no pain that still needs mending. You are safe in the hallways of my mind. It's such a profound thought. And when I first heard it, I realized that pretty much nobody was safe in the hallways of my mind, but especially me. I was criticizing other people. I wasn't speaking it anymore. I'd learned to keep my mouth shut through my science of mind studies, but I still had those angry thoughts and resentful thoughts that were going on in my head. I still had those fears going on in my head. And that song really changed the way I approached my life, because I wanted to make people safe in the hallways of my mind. I wanted to be safe myself in the hallways of my mind and not be critical and beating myself up for not doing it right. And I was really grateful to be reminded of that. In his song, although he didn't sing it here. He probably doesn't sing it anymore. It's a 20-year-old song. But he changed me with that song. The consciousness of that song influenced me. And so often I'm influenced by the consciousness that underlies the music. And I love it when Michael and Siobhan come, because even when you don't sing your greatest hits, I am reminded of Shine On and Let It Come, because those songs changed my consciousness as well. They allow me to experience the greater aspect of who I am. And these reminders of who we are in consciousness are so powerful. Wherever they come from, they're valuable, but so often for me they come from music and the essence of the consciousness of the musicians. And Abraham says musicians and artists tend to get these philosophies better than anybody else, because they understand the creative process. And they live it. And I heard an interview yesterday on Sirius Radio, and I don't even know the man's name. But he was talking about the process he went through of writing a song with Pink. And it turned out to be a hit song, and he got a big songwriting award for it. And he was very excited about it, because he said he thinks of himself as a songwriter instead of a performer. But he actually did the duet with Pink on the song, because she tricked him in the studio and asked him to sing the duet part with her and then refused to release it unless he allowed it to be released with his voice on it. So I'm sure he's made a gazillion amount of money on that song because he wrote it and he sang on it. And anyway, it's a song that talks about people being unsafe in the hallways of your mind. And I was blown away by it when I heard it, because the man in the duet says, I don't know what you're talking about. Everything is still perfect for us. What you're going through is all in your head. Our relationship isn't over. Our relationship is fine. But so often we argue with people in our heads until we believe there's an argument, even if they don't even know there's an argument. And it's pretty stunning to see that happening. And it's fascinating when he told the story of writing the song, because he went into the studio, he took a friend with him that he feels very secure with because he didn't like Pink. he said, I really wasn't into Pink. But I had this opportunity to be in the studio with her, and he said, I just sat down and I started to sing. And he said, the phrase, just give me a reason, came out of my mouth. And that she started writing down what he was singing. And between the two of them, they came out with this extraordinary song that was a fabulous hit that represented this incredible conflict between them. Every step of the way, because he didn't want to do it, he didn't want to be there with her, he didn't want to sing on it, but he opened to that inspiration in the moment, and that inspiration interacted with her inspiration. The story was fabulous. I got to find out his name. I wish I'd looked it up. I didn't know I was going to tell that story here. But the one other story I want to tell is that a person who hasn't been safe in the hallway of my mind is my next door neighbor. He's very territorial about his parking space, which is right next to mine. And if I have a friend who pulls into that parking space, he goes out and creates havoc with them. And one time, a man across the street, a young man who'd moved in across the street, came over. And he said to me, is there something wrong with your neighbor? He first said, can I ask you a question? I love that people often start conversations with me with that phrase. I say, yeah, ask me a question. He said, is there something wrong with your neighbor? And I said, well, I think he's an unhappy man. And so he responds to the world in unhappy ways. And I said, but when I think of him, I think of this moment when I bought my yellow car. And I was a little concerned that he wouldn't like it, but he came running out of his house and he walked up to me and he said, it's like a Tonka truck. And in that moment, I saw the beautiful little boy he was that loved his trucks and got into it. And so when I've thought of him, I've tried really hard to think of that. But I've noticed that I still, when somebody comes over, I still tense up because they might park in his space. And so as I was walking in my neighborhood, I was thinking about sending awareness of divine love to people all over the world. And I had a glitchy thought about my neighbor, and I thought, I just need to send awareness of divine love to my neighbor. Duh! I mean, really? So I started sending awareness of divine love across the wall that divides our townhouses. And this past week, I have had 6 positive interactions with that man. It wasn't just one, like the Tonka truck interaction that then went on for 4 more years of, or 5 more years of estrangement. But he started chatting with me. I ended up giving him some seeds. And he told me about a problem with my gutters that I needed to fix. And he took on some ownership about solving the problem. I mean, it just was like night and day. This is a different person that I've been living next to for 15 years, aside from my Tonka truck moment. But the Tonka truck lasted for days this week. And that is just so awesome to me, because we think we keep in touch with one another on Facebook, but that's minuscule in comparison with the way you keep in touch with one another through your memories, through your contemplation, through your anticipation, through your giving your attention. And so that's my message today. We have this opportunity to clean up the hallways of our minds and notice if we're saying something in our heads that's fearful or resentful or angry. And we have the opportunity to send awareness of divine love to ourselves and become aware of divine love regarding everyone and everything else we think about. Whoever it is, whatever it is, if they're right here, if they're in non-physical, if they're our beloved Kate, we send the love, we feel the connection, because the connection between us is eternal. There's only one of us here. And we are blessed when we remember and live from that place of oneness.